Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. This is our season of flourishing. You must not get tired of hearing it. Even when you look around you and you don't see it, don't get tired of being reminded that this is your season of flourishing. Hallelujah. The kind of flourishing we are talking about is not the type that man gives. It is the one that was ordained of God. Genesis 1:26 talked about how God pronounced the blessings of multiplication, how God pronounced the blessings of dominion, how God pronounced the blessings of flourishing upon man. So this pronouncement of flourishing, this declaration of flourishing is not as coined by man. It is not as coined by the pastor. It is as ordained of God. Yes, I know that after Adam and Eve came in and they got a promise, the devil came in and stole the mandate, you know, deceived them. We talked about a bit about that during some weeks ago when I talked about the council of the ungodly. But what Jesus did when he came was to restore unto us everything that we had lost. Bible says that he came that he may restore, that he may seek and to restore everything that was lost. So Jesus already returned us to factory setting. For as many that received him, as many that have said, Lord, I want you as my Lord and my Savior, he already restored us to factory setting. He formatted us such that you look at us and you see us as brand new, the same way God created us, with the same mandate with which God blessed us. So you carry flourishing. I carry flourishing. I cannot but flourish. I carry flourishing in my DNA. But today we are going to be activating that blessing. We are going to be activating that DNA that you carry within you. So we're going to be activating that seed of flourishing in us. The book of Psalms chapter 1, and I'm not going to dwell back on what we had said before, but I recall that the Bible says that he shall flourish like a tree. The dimension of God's flourishing, the thoughts of God when he thinks about your flourishing, is likened to that of a tree. There is a big difference between the flourishing of a plant and the flourishing of a tree. If you plant maize or tomatoes, within a few months, you begin to see the seeds already. You see the fruits, and then you are ready to harvest, right? But if a tree is planted, it doesn't sprout immediately. It doesn't give you fruits immediately. It doesn't give you the seeds immediately. It takes a while, but it is lasting. It is not the one that comes in the morning and fades away by night. So our level of flourishing, when God says you will flourish, it is not the dimension of plants. It is a dimension of trees. He says, like a tree planted by the rivers of water. There are trees and there are trees. There are trees planted on dry ground. A tree planted on dry ground has to do a lot, except when it is rainy season. When it is a dry season, the tree planted on dry ground needs to exert its authority by extending its root to soak up every nutrient available in the ground, thereby making every plant around it suffer. A tree that is planted on dry ground has to do a lot, has to hustle, has to struggle, has to fight. Because flourishing is not automatic. A tree planted on dry ground makes other plants around it suffer when there is no enough nutrient in the ground, because of its own advantage of the bigger roots. A tree planted on dry ground is not stable. Sometimes the leaves are green. Sometimes the leaves wither. But a tree planted by the rivers of living water, not stagnant water, living water, is daily nourished. It does not depend on weather. It is not dependent on whether there is rain or there's harmattan, because its root goes deep into the rivers of living water. Plants around it don't suffer. It is not aggressive. And you see that in the corporate world. You are doing well at work, but because that person is planted on dry ground, there is that sense of, I must be the only one making it. So that person pulls every other person around him or her down. That is not our dimension of flourishing. No. We flourish and we are a blessing. We don't flourish only to be blessed. We flourish also to be a giver of life. To be a blessing to everyone around us. So when you think flourishing, think the actual intent of God concerning your life as per flourishing. 2 Kings chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading from verse 1. I need multimedia, please. And a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves, to be a repayment of the loan." Now, this servant of God, this son of the prophet, feared the Lord, lived a good life, lived a very spiritual life. But there was a disconnect between his spiritual life and every other aspect of his life. He lived in debt. There are some people use. Now, I'm trying to be careful with my examples. But this is the typical scenario in my head now is a believer who is at work and your appraisal comes out and they keep telling you you're on probation, you're not doing well. You know, there's a disconnect and people are beginning, you don't even need people to ask you. Even you are beginning to ask yourself, why is it not flowing? When I come to church, I roll on the floor, the Spirit of God comes upon me, I call down his presence. Why can't I translate this presence to my work, to my studies, to my home? There was a disconnect between this man's status as a son of God and his actual life. Now, but he had a wife. He had a wife who knew there was a problem. He had a wife who knew there was an issue, who did not have the solution to the problem, but she knew someone she could run to. And she ran to the prophet Elisha. In those days, the prophets were the main custodians of the word of God, of the Rhema, the word for that season. If you needed to hear God on a situation, in those days, you would go to the prophets. So what she did was to run to God for the word for the season. What she did was to seek the face of the Lord for the Rhema for that season that was upon her. Because she was going to lose her two sons. She had lost her husband. She was going to lose her two sons. Now, she could have decided to just be lackadaisical and just tell herself, you know, Amuwa alone, anything that happened is God. She could have just told the creditor, at least the debt will be over. This, my sons will work. Let's negotiate the terms. But she refused. Because she knew that there was something the word of God could have done for her. In our dispensation, our go-to is the Spirit of God. You want to take any step? You want to make any decision? The Lord told Abraham, leave your father's house. The Lord told Isaac, stay. It's not an all-size-fit-all. Hallelujah. It is not an all size fit all. The Bible says that for you to know the spirit, what is in the heart of God. Please give us 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Give me first an amplified version and then we'll take the message version again. Hallelujah. There is an instruction for every season. I know there is a word of prophecy saying this is our season of flourishing. But you need to seek the face of the Lord for that particular instruction that you need to flourish. That particular step that you need to take. For some people, God will tell you relocate. For some people, God will tell you change your jobs. For some people, God will tell you stay there. Stay on that job. Oh, you close 11 p.m. and the Lord is telling you stay there. Your boss is mean and God is telling you stay there. Your boss could be loving and God will tell you it's time to move. Oh, it's not always as we want it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Did you give me something? Okay, for what person knows the thoughts and motives of a man except the man's spirit within him? So also, no one knows the thoughts of God except the spirit of God. He said, my thoughts of you are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future. But those thoughts, no one knows except by the spirit of God. Except by the spirit of God. Can we look at it in the message translation? It's just buttressing the fact that in this season of flourishing, a word of prophecy has gone forth. But there is a particular route that is designed to your flourishing that you need to discover. And that discovery is not behind God. See, what we are battling with is not flesh and is not blood. This kind of hardship in town, being smart is not enough to overcome it. Being agile is not enough to overcome it. The Lord needs to put your feet on the path that you need to tread. The Lord needs to instruct you and tell you what time to wake up and go to the harvest. What time to wake up and go to the field. Because many have gone ahead of you and they came back with nothing. Do I have it in message? Whoever knows what you are thinking and planning except you yourself. That is the same with God. Only that He not only knows, that's the same with God, except that He not only knows what He is thinking. Please go on. There's still a path. But He has let us in on it. So the door is opened. We just need to seek. We just need to ask Him. Lord, open my eyes. Pastor Para was praying for us and he said, let the windows of visions and revelations be opened unto us. Lord, open my eyes that I may see, that I may know the path that I should tread. Hallelujah. Let's go back to our 2 Kings chapter 4. So she ran to the word of God. She ran. And you know, sometimes God may even lead you to say, go to a particular pastor, or go to your prophet, or go to your pastor and do this and do that. There could be instructions. Hallelujah. Please, let's go on 2 Kings chapter 4. Now, I need you to know that the creditor here was not going to give up. The creditor was going to take his sons as sons and make them slaves. The creditor did not even hide his own intention. The devil has come to steal, to kill, to destroy. The devil is not hiding it. Why some of us still choose to follow him is what I don't know. Pastor Topper said he doesn't know how to switch. He's not hiding his intentions. He has never hidden his intentions. He has never. It's clear. You sign a contract with the devil, you come into it. So the creditor already told the woman, your sons will come in as slaves. That woman had to get up. And we are getting up today. We are getting up today. We are going to take deliberate actions to activate that seed of flourishing in us. It has been locked in there for too long. It is time to wake it up. Please, let's go on verse 2. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me. what do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Now she had a pot of oil, but as far as she was concerned, the pot of oil was useless. So it was in the category of nothing. Look, your flourishing will start with what you already have. There's no going to look for something far away from somewhere. There is something you already have. But how you will know that that is a seed of your flourishing is that it is something you despise. It is something you have told yourself, this thing cannot amount to anything. You studied Yoruba and you have told yourself, it cannot amount to anything. Start. It will start from there. It will start from there. Hallelujah. She said, I have nothing. I don't have anything. All I have is just a pot of oil. That big picture you are looking at, that big picture you are looking at will start with a dot. Because when you want to draw, you can't draw without starting with a dot. So you have that big picture ahead of you. But if you despise your first dot, then you will miss that big picture. So she said, I have nothing. I mean, the only thing I have is just a pot of oil. I mean, it can be anything. I'm sure you go into any home, most likely you will see oil. Vegetable oil, palm oil, coconut oil, for those who are trying to live healthy. I know we're only just deceiving ourselves, but we're trying. Some of us even have turmeric oil. And you're eating it and you're asking yourself, why am I suffering? No taste. Hallelujah. So she despised the oil, but that was the starting point. That was where God was actually looking at. That was that thing. God puts that thing in her life for a lifting. So all the while that the prophet died out of misery, died out of indebtedness, they had that oil somewhere in the corners of their room. And even the son of the prophet did not see it. The Lord will open your eyes. In the name of Jesus. That which he has placed in your hands, you will not despise anymore. You will come to value it. In the name of Jesus. And then verse 3, let's go on. Then he said, go, borrow vessels from everywhere. What did her husband do before he died? He borrowed. What is the prophet telling her to do? Borrow. So there is borrowing and there is borrowing. When your instruction to borrow comes from God, it is different from when it comes from your logic or when it comes from your emotions. So the prophet told her, go and borrow. And I'm not saying jump out of this service and go on the loan app closest to you and begin to download and begin to borrow. They called me one time ago and they said, good afternoon, madam. Do you know? I said, I don't know the person. They said, if you are trying to hide the person, you better know that this. I said, okay, wait. When he gave you my number as guarantor, did you call to confirm if I know him? Please get off the phone. There is borrowing and there is borrowing. There is relocation and there is relocation. If God tells you to go, go. If God tells you to change your job, I've seen people who change jobs and within 1 year, their lives turned upside down. I mean, someone walked to me. We used to be in the same organization. And he said, I got another offer with an oil and gas. Who wouldn't take it? No, who wouldn't take it? And he moved. Only for him to get to the oil and gas. And 3 or 4 months after, they needed to downsize. And they said, last in, first house. So he lost the job. Meanwhile, the moment you get into oil and gas, everything around you begins to... Your standard of living rises immediately. Your cost of living goes up. You change your children's school. You change your accommodation. You change everything. 4 months down the line, he came back to the former organization to say, have you filled my role? And they said, we have. Sorry. But there is a movement that God tells you, take that offer with a small organization. You are coming from an oil and gas, and God says, move into the small organization. They don't even have a website, but the Lord is telling you, take it. You will not miss his instructions. In the name of Jesus. So he told her, he said, go borrow. Go and borrow. Borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. And there was an emphasis on the type of vessel, empty vessels. The same thing your neighbors despise, gather it. Because the same way she thought a pot of oil was useless was the same way the neighbors would have thought their vessels, their empty vessels, were useless. Borrow it. Gather all the empty vessels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember I was talking to somebody some weeks ago, and she said one of her friends that is even a manager in a bank, can I believe that she actually resigned? She resigned and relocated to the U.S. and is now a nanny in the U.S. And she earns $6,000 in a month. In fact, she doesn't even know what she's still doing in this country. When God said borrow empty vessels, when the prophet told her borrow empty vessels, there was a specification. He didn't tell her borrow vessels, borrow basket, borrow this one, borrow that. There is a specification of what you need to borrow that can contain your blessing. What she needed to turn inside was oil. Borrowing basket would have been the wrongest decision of her life. So God has told you, this digital marketing, stay there. And then some people are beginning to tell you, but does it even really sell in Nigeria? You know that somebody studied French. He is now in Canada as a French tutor. You jump into French. Then, after 2 months, somebody tells you that, the sister Remi, she had testimony with you. She got a contract. This fashion designing is working, 2 months after. So you are gathering vessels, you are gathering baskets, you are gathering biro, you are gathering paper, you are gathering clothes, you are gathering, and God is looking at you and saying, which one of these will now be useful for your blessing? So there is a specification, and the prophet was very, 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 very clear. You are not just going for vessels, you are going for empty vessels. May the Lord lead us in the name of Jesus. If it is a certification that the Lord is placing on your heart to do, go and do it. Now, he said, borrow from your neighbors. I told you, you are starting with that thing that is in your home. Every other thing or the additional resources you need are already within your reach. She didn't have to travel out of her city to get it. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are different aspects to this. There are different aspects to this. For instance, if you studied banking and finance in school, then you graduate, and then somebody tells you, the lawyers are the highest paid now. Then you apply for masters in law. You have gone out of your neighborhood. You studied financial accounting in school. You can decide to extend your tentacles within your neighborhood. Look for any other skill within your reach. What God wants to bless you with is already within your neighborhood. Hallelujah. Can we go on to 2 Kings? 2 Kings. Second Kings chapter 4. Then he said, do not gather just a few. I'm sure this woman must have been the talk of town that day. Because everybody would have known that she was in debt. Everybody knew she was hungry. Everybody knew she had nothing. Then you go about gathering pangolo, gathering panty. You know, there's just a way people would have laughed her to scorn. Oh, so it is empty bowls you want to be gathering now. Ngwanu, take, we have 5. Pack everything. When the Lord speaks, the Lord speaks volumes. The Lord speaks big. The Lord told Abraham, look into the sky. You don't have a child, but count the stars. As many that you can count. Those are your children. The prophet told her, don't gather a few. Gather as much as you can. You and your sons go into the neighborhood and gather. Now, it doesn't matter if people laugh at you or not. Don't shut down your prophecy with your small mind. ask yourself, sometimes we overanalyze the word of God, the prophecies upon our lives. We overapply logic. We think too much about it. We are trying to help God. We are trying to help God manage our expectations. So the Lord says, I will make you a financier of the kingdom. And then you are asking yourself, ah, God, let me just support Abbe's word alone. That kingdom is a big word. Just, let me just be serving my church. If they have needs, welfare team, it's okay. Don't shut down your prophecy with your mindset. When Joseph had a dream, what he got from the dream, what the Lord told him was, I was going to be a ruler, right? When he got to the house of Potiphar, he already became a ruler, but he was a slave ruler. That was not the dimension of rulership that God called him for. If he had been careless, thinking he had come to his Rehoboth, after all, ruler is ruler, as long as it measures, then he would have fallen into a big problem. He would have truncated the purpose of God for his life. And also look at the story of David. After he had been anointed, you know, as king, nothing seemed to be kingly around him. Nobody was calling him to any special meeting. You would have thought that after the oil came upon him, there would now be something they wanted to do, and they would say, oh, we need the committee of the youth. Oh, David, join us. You know, that's what you would expect. Now that I've been anointed, let things begin to happen. Nothing was happening. The only thing that happened to David was that he killed a lion in the forest. When you kill the king of the jungle, then you have become the king, right? So David would have died being the king of the jungle in the forest if he did not step out, placing his prophecies right before him. Don't let your mind shut you away from God's purpose for your life. If you borrow a few, you get a few results. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know some of us like to think and analyze and help God. But please, when God speaks, I said God speaks in volumes. Let's move on. Verse 5. And when you have come in. Okay, so which one? And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So the prophet told her, after you have gathered all the qualifications, after you have gathered everything within your reach, after you have gathered more skills, after you have looked into your life and you have seen that which God has placed within you, he said, shut the door. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. But when you pray, go into your most private room. This is Amplified Version. Give me in King James. Give me in King James. Matthew 6, 6. Hey, kadaba shakata. Shutting the door is a posture for prayer. Matthew 6, 6. King James Version. Embele ketebos ketebeli kadaba shakata baligadaya. Hey, kadaba zukata. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have shut your door, pray to your father. Elisha had an encounter with a boy that died. Bible records that. So before I even jump to that, before Elisha went to the house, he sent his servant with the rod, right? The rod went ahead of him. Now, this same rod in the hands of Moses splits the Red Sea. The rod is known for mighty works. The rod went ahead of Elisha, but the boy, didn't come up. And then Elisha followed suit. And when he got there, he shut the door. When you are face to face with that prophecy, that destiny, and you begin to see signs of complications, you begin to see contentions around you, shut your door. Shut your door. And I remember something that happened to me some years ago. It was the season of expecting promotion at work. And You know how you just feel that you are due for promotion? So you are expecting. Nobody told you, but you are just expecting. Then I had a dream, and I saw the promotion list. Funny enough, if you ask me, I didn't see any particular name. But I saw the list, and in the dream, I knew that my name was not on the list. So I woke up, and I said, Pastor, there's a problem. That time, it wasn't the time to say, honey, Pastor, oh yeah, there's a problem. This one is not a sweetheart. There's time for that one. This one, I saw something. And then I said, I saw the promotion list in my office, and my name was not on it. And he said, are you due? Do you want it? I said, I want it. Then he said, you will have it. So, I was expectant. I had the word that said, you will have it. But I already knew, God had shown me that there were contentions around me. My sister, when you begin to have situations like that, it's a time for you to shut your door. Shut your door in the place of prayer. Shut your door in the place of seeking the Lord. And sit with God. She sat with her sons in the house. You are the first beneficiary of your prophecy. She sat with her children in the house and she shut the door. Now, the interesting thing with this story is the promotion list came out and people started calling me, oh, congratulations, you've been promoted. And, you know, it was easy to just say, oh, God did it after all. Then my immediate boss called me and said, your name was not on the list. Because I'm a humble believer, I didn't say I knew. But in my heart, she said, your name was not there. She said, at the point of final submission, your name was still not there. But this morning, I heard that you got it. There are contentions. The creditor had already told her, I'm taking your sons. So for her, this oil magic must work. Okay. Because this was her last chance. This was the only option she had. There was no other way. And as long as you still think you have options, you will not be compelled to shut your door. There was no other way. You need to come to the point where you tell yourself that this is a do or do. Because I'm not going to die in the process of this. There was no other option. You either get it or you don't get it. The word of God has made provisions for you. The prophet had told her, you will need to fill these empty vessels with this small oil. It was time to shut her door. When you pray, shut your door. It is time for you to say, Father, I wait on you. On this particular matter, you will hear me. Jacob lost his hip now. Didn't he lose his hip? But he got what he wanted. Yeah. Hallelujah. So the prophet told her, shut your door. It's a posture in prayer. Especially when you begin to see the contentions around you. You begin to see that the ground does not want to yield. You have tilled and tilled and tilled, and the ground is being stubborn. Shut your door. Even if things seem to be working around you, shut your door and ask God. Hallelujah. Please, let's go on. Next verse. No, 2 Kings chapter 4. And when you have come in, so she went from him and she shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. She followed the instruction word for word. There was no hiding, there was no deduction. I know we are smart and we know more than God, because most of the time we tell ourselves, no, I'm not sure God meant. If God says it the way he says it, just follow, full obedience. And please, can you leave the scripture up here? And she shut the door and she poured the oil. As you gather the skills, as you gather the experience, as you go all out to get it, give expression to all of these skills in you. Embrace every opportunity that you have. There is a project at work, take it. There is an extra assignment beyond your JD. I know some of us have crammed our job descriptions. Your manager tries any rupture. No, that's not in my JD. I used to hear that a lot. That's not in my JD. Every expression you have to pull out, embrace it. Go for internships. Go volunteer. God has told you you'll be a financier of the kingdom. The money has not come. Go out and preach to people and tell people how that God loves them, how that God wants them fed. Share the little that you have. So she began to pour out. Hallelujah. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Now the oil did not cease when the vessels were full. The oil ceased after the sons made a pronouncement that there was no other vessel. There was no other container for the blessing. There was no other room for the blessing. After the son made that pronouncement, the oil ebbed and ceased. Let your declarations align with your prophecy. When David was going to face Goliath, from the way he spoke, I would have expected Goliath's PA, because Goliath had a PA on the battleground. I would have said the PA to call him as I say, Oga. Ah, he's like, this guy has something else that we don't have. Let it not be heard from you that you come out and you declare that your barn is full. No. Your barn is not full. I can take more. I have room for more. I can take more. I expand in my capacity. I have capacity for more. I am not full. Don't get overwhelmed when you begin to see the little fruits that comes from the blessings that God has given you, because you can take much more. Let your confessions align with your prophecy. You come to church on Sundays, they say, let's take our confession. This is my season of flourishing. And then you go out on Monday, you price Indomie, they say it's 1,002. And you say, aha, hey, we're not going to chop again for this country. No, I will eat and be satisfied. That is my confession. I will be filled. I will be nourished. I will flourish. Let dollar be 1 million to $1. I will have more than enough. Let your confession align with what God has told you. Let your confession align with the word that you have for that season. Hallelujah. There was a case, and of course, it had to do with promotion too. We were having appraisals. I think Pastor has shared this story before. And my Oga was telling me, but you got promoted like 15 months ago now. You are not due now. Let me just put not yet ready. I said, no, just put it there now. Doesn't matter. Just write it there. Don't say I'm not due. I am due for promotion. Write it there. That's my confession. Even though in my mind, I know the policy. I will not quote policy when it has to do with my destiny. I will quote policy for you when you ask me questions. What is the due time? I will tell you, due time for promotion is 2 years. But when it is my destiny, it is not 2 years, so it is as the Lord wishes. It is as the Lord declares. So I told her, I said, take it now, madam. It doesn't matter. Don't worry. Just put it. She said, but you are not due. I said, I'm due. Just. She just put it. Now, I understood how she just, because it won't change anything. Policy is policy. Fast forward to some months after. The organs were like, we didn't do so much last year. What can we do to engage our employees this year? Give me the cost analysis of everybody that was recommended. They checked the cost analysis. Oh, we can accommodate this cost. Promote everybody that was recommended. Then I had friends who came to say, they had same conversations with their supervisors. And they agreed with themselves, you are not due, I'm not due. She told me. She said, my Oga actually said it, that you are not due. And I agreed. That, because I know... I know, but that's not my confession. That is not the prophecy over my life. That is not the word of God over my life. Let me confess it. David said, I will fry you. I will turn you to bones. I will kill you. I will feed you to the birds of the head. David, Goliath. Because he knew that there was an anointing upon him for him to rule Israel. So for David, he knew that he was not going to die on that battlefield. If anybody will die here, it is you. Because there is a word that is alive over my head. The word is alive over my head. I will not die here. I have not seen the fulfillment of that word. So if anybody will die here, it is you. When you speak, let people look at you and like, ah, really, from you? We will not join them to speak ill in this season. You will not live here and go out and be lamenting every conversation you want to be part of it. It's not even like the conversations are interesting conversations. They say pepper is now 1 million. You want to, they say chicken is now this one. You want to be part of it? No. It shall be well with my soul. In this country, if they like, let them make it 5 million. We will feed. My children will not go hungry. You still have to make those confessions in alignment with your prophecy. The son said there was no more vessels. And the oil ceased. Now, ask me, how come the oil ceased at the voice of the sons? When she shut the door, she didn't shut the door on herself alone. Her sons were involved. They were part of that contract. They were part of that transaction. They were a part of that blessing concerning her. So you will get home. You are not talking only to yourself. You will call your children together. Everybody around you. You will call everybody together. Spouses, speak to one another and tell yourselves, in this house, no evil confession. If you turn on the TV and the news is giving you high blood pressure, shut it down. I've not listened to news in a while. Though. So when my husband is listening to news and is saying, I don't know what they are saying. I carry my bag, I enter my room. You listen to the news, it will kill your faith. Every encouragement you had when you came to church and Pastor Benga gingered you, go back home on Monday morning and listen to Rufai. Rufai will tell you every reason why this country will not work. No. My economy is not dependent on that. My economy is directly from Zion. Because this is my season of flourishing. Do you think it's a coincidence that the Lord is saying you will flourish in this hard time? It isn't a coincidence. God has planned it. But God needs our cooperation. If God says you flourish and you keep saying I'll be hungry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the oil ceased. Then she went back to the servants of the Lord. She went back to the prophets. And she said, I have done everything you told me to do. Now there is no room for assumptions. The Lord has opened a window for you. The Lord has opened a door for you. You have come into the door. You have seen the plenty. Don't sit and tell yourself this is the end of it. You need to keep going back to God to ask, Father, what next? It shows your total dependence on His leadership. What next? What should I do next? So she went back to the prophet. Now she already had the oil. She could have assumed that, I think the prophet would just want me to give this oil to the creditor. Which was possible. I mean, I'm not sure she was a woman who was known for trading. She was not a woman who knew she could even trade. She would probably have started trading one or two things. She probably didn't even know anything about oil. So it was easy for her to assume to just pass the oil to the creditors. And then one problem would have been solved. But the other problems of her livelihood and her children's welfare would still be there. So she would have paid off the loans with the oil, but she would need to now hustle, struggle again, start all over to get something again to live on. So she went back to the prophet. The instruction you have given me so far, the prophecy so far, this is where the instruction has landed me. What next? Because these instructions can be very progressive sometimes. God tells you do this, and then you assume. The Lord has told you can change jobs, you can move into this company. When you get in there, don't just sit down and believe that is the end of it. No. You are probably still in a process. And that's just the same thing with the story of Joseph. When he got to the house of Potiphar, everything looked rosy. He became a ruler, even though he was a slave ruler, but he was still a ruler. He was the head of the home. Everything looked fine. He was beginning to see the fruit. But he knew somehow that was not the end of it. So you must, at every point, and I say this because in the course of the year, as we flourish, sometimes you see the buds coming out. You see the flowers coming out. You see the seeds coming out. Don't assume. Don't make assumptions. Go back. Keep seeking the face of the Lord. Keep waiting on Him for more instructions. You can't afford to be in and out. You can't afford to be unstable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So she told the prophet, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. So whatever that oil gave her was enough to take care of her for her lifetime and also to take care of her children. So inside that oil, she got pension. She got gratuity. She got monthly pay. She got school fees for her children. She got food. But there was something the prophet told her, go and sell. So the people she borrowed the vessels from, they had to go back to them again to say, I can return your vessel, but there's oil inside. Do you want to buy? So come and buy. So she had to acquire the skill to sell. Now imagine a woman in the society who had been downtrodden, who had been despised, who had lost her husband, who was about to lose her children, who was in debt, having the courage to go out to sell. Nobody will sell you for you. God has told you, gather not a few. You have gathered qualifications. You have gathered, done internship. You have done this. You have done that. Begin to put together every skill that you need to sell yourself. I see people who come for interviews and they are not prepared. How do you go for an interview as an entry level? It's not even entry level. This case I'm talking about. Entry level contract employment. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's contract. Eh? Then it's the entry level of that contract. That contract will elapse after 2 years. So after 2 years, you can be considered for full-time employment. So it's like a low-level, entry-level. And then you go for the interview and they're asking you, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? And you tell the interviewers, I see myself in the next 5 years as the MD of this bank. Hello. You have only sold yourself as, I don't want to say it. The moment that thing came out of the lady's mouth, I appreciate your faith. In the next 5 years, as the MD, the person interviewing you has been in this organization for 10 years, and is not the MD. Learn interview tips. Learn the right way to sell yourself. That was the statement that disqualified that girl. She was qualified in every other way. But because of that statement, everybody on the board just said, no, she's not. Her level of thinking is low. You think you are thinking big, but the interviewers are telling you that your level of thinking is low. In the next 5 years, you're not even saying, oh, by the next 5 years, I see myself as being a very good performer such that I'm considered for full employment in 2 years' time. And then by 5 years, I've moved up the ladder and I'm able to now, you know, do this and be in this department and exact this and be able to be responsible for more functions and in such a way that I can grow professionally. I mean, there are ways to answer questions. And I still come back to say, you still need the Holy Spirit. There have been interviews that you want to attend and the Holy Spirit will be the one dropping the questions in your mind, preparing you ahead of the interview. You come to church, pastor lays hands on you and says, this week the Lord says you're having a new job. And you go back home and you begin to celebrate and you're not thinking of how to prepare yourself. Don't go to an interview and tell them that I see myself in the next 5 years as your MD. Hallelujah. So the prophet told her, go and sell. Now, whatever you get from this blessing depends on how well you sell. If you go to them and you say, this oil, you know, I'm very, very jobless and I'm useless. But this oil, I don't even know how it happened.
I was just pouring oil. The oil, I don't know if it's magical. But can you buy? Just tell you, you don't need oil today. Maybe tomorrow we'll call you. You know, I see vendors very angry when you tell them, I'll get back to you. No, we don't need oil today. Your ability to sell determines how much you get from your blessing. So when he said, go and sell, the remaining was dependent on you. Now you have the resources. Now you have the qualifications. Now you have what it takes. You have the skill. Then sell yourself. I remember there was a time I shared my CV with someone. I said, I'm trying to get into, you know, this particular sector. And he looks into the CV. This CV will not sell you. You are trying to get into a particular sector. It could be in business. It could be in career. You want to submit a business proposal. And your business proposal is not selling your product. You need to understand their language in that particular industry. You must understand the words that they speak. I know Pastor has always talked about this. You can't just have one generic CV. And we're not saying lie. Because in a particular job format, the way they, you know, coin their words may be different from another job application. You have to learn to sell yourself. You have to learn to sell the blessings of God upon you. You have to learn to sell that blessing that God has placed on you. Because this year, that is the only way. Because you must flourish. Hallelujah. So she went back to the neighborhood and she was able to sell. She could not have sold in the neighborhood if she was not a good woman. Stop being aggressive. It's everybody you want to fight with. In the name of wanting to be respected. No, it doesn't work that way. Be good to people. You need people around you. Be good to people. Let God's hand upon you be revealed in the goodness of your heart. Now, I'm not saying allow yourself to be taken as a fool. I'm not saying allow yourself to be taken advantage of. But be good. Tell yourself from today, I want to be a good person. Ask people around you for feedback. Do you think I'm a good person? Ask. Let people be able to say, oh, I work with her and she is nice. People should not be afraid to be in your project team. They say all of you come into groups. And then the people in your group are saying, no. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going into this week changing our confession. We are going into this week taking deliberate steps. We are going into this week being good people. We are going into this week shutting our doors. Christ. Amen.